From our microphones in downtown Washington, D.C., this is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Back at our microphones is Will Marling, the Executive Director of the National Organization for Victim Assistance. And also back at our microphones is Robert Wayne Ivey. We did a show on identity theft just a little while ago, and we realized, you know, almost towards the end of the show that there was no way that we could cut it off at that particular point, that we had to continue the show. There was so much more to discuss. Will Marling, the Executive Director of the National Organization for Victim Assistance, www.trinova.org. We're doing a series of six shows with the National Organization for Victim Assistance. Robert Wayne Ivey is a resident agent or is resident agent in charge of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. He works out of the Brevard County Field Office, an expert in the investigation of ID thefts, and Wayne has also been the victim of an ID theft and hence has a unique perspective on this kind of victimization. Ladies and gentlemen, we are close to 170,000 requests for the month of July. We really appreciate all of the contacts that you provide us. Get in touch with me by email, Leonard, L-E-O-N-A-R-D, .Sipes, S-I-P, not T, but S-I-P-E-S, at C-S-O-S-A.gov, or leave comments in the show notes. Leave comments in the comment box in the four sites that we have at DC Public Safety, or you can follow me at Twitter / Len, L-E-N, Sipes, S-I-P-E-S. To summarize the first show that we did, and I think it's really a very important show. Number one, we don't check credit records, and that the average time before an individual finds out that he's been victimized is approximately 12 months. Why? Because we don't check our credit card receipts and we don't check our records. The second thing is, do not respond to any inquiry, whether it's a telephone inquiry or a mail inquiry or an internet inquiry, asking for personal information. Use a trusted number for the bank or the credit card company and call them and say, I have an inquiry. Is this legitimate? Don't put your sensitive items in the trash. If you have a credit card receipt and you throw it out, or credit card application and you throw it out, there's every possibility that somebody could pick it up, fill it out, and use it, and it's all in your name. We said that education is probably the most important factor here, maybe more than law enforcement efforts. I'm not quite sure how law enforcement is going to deal with the fact that the fifth item, 10 million identity thefts. That's the estimate, but we all believe that that's the tip of the iceberg. Will Marling and Wayne, welcome back to DC Public Safety.
Hey, Leonard, thanks. Good to be with you.
Yeah, Leonard, thank you for having us back.
Well, you know, we did the first show, show number one, and I'm, you know, we try to do half-hour shows, and 25 minutes into the show, I'm saying to myself, heavens, we're just barely touching this issue. So just to reinforce what we said last time, Will Marling, National Organization for Victim Assistance, why is NOVA involved in identity theft?
Well, identity theft is a huge problem, and it might not be well known from some sectors, but we're discovering that it's a significant problem. And we got involved because there certainly are victim or identity theft protection companies out there, and they're trying to do meaningful work. But we've also discovered that there clearly are victims who have not been protected, and so we felt like as a victim assistance organization, we should get some serious attention and resources to this problem.
And traditionally, NOVA has dealt with the victims of rape, victims of homicide, victims
That's
of
right.
robbery, victims yep. of burglary. And this is simply an extension of the original purpose of the organization.
Yeah, it is indeed. I mean, we're not giving up on violent crime victims by any stretch, but we're certainly trying to expand our capacity, recognizing particularly the life-devastating impact that this has. It isn't just a property loss crime. It has significant emotional and personal ramifications, absolutely.
And if you want to hear Will Marling on the original show that we did with the National Organization for Victim Assistance, just go back in the archives of DC Public Safety, and I think it's an extraordinarily informative show. And we have, again, Wayne Ivey, Robert Wayne Ivey. Bob, you're the resident in charge of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, a resident agent in charge, and you're an identification crime expert. How many of these crimes do you handle in any given year?
Well, we see them every day, and you know, we're seeing them at every level, not just our agency, but the local agencies, local, state, and federal agencies are dealing with them. And so, you know, we've seen a continual increase over the last, I'd say, 10 years that we've been working them. Some time back, we had a statewide identity theft task force that was working specifically these cases and presenting that information to a grand jury. So it is a continual problem, and it's a problem that seems to have the ability to impact any one of us.
Well, I think that, you know, my experience with victims of crime throughout my criminal justice career, and it's devastating. If somebody takes the bikes from the garage, you feel a personal violation. I would imagine if somebody is dipping into your credit card, somebody is using your social security number, somebody is using your name, that's extraordinarily frightening as well. I mean, it's just, you know, you feel incredibly violated by a burglary. You feel unbelievably afraid at times from a robbery, but it seems as if credit card theft, you know, that is, there are so many unknowns attached to it that it's going to be doubly difficult from the standpoint of fear of crime. And I would imagine a lot of people don't report identity thefts because they're afraid to admit that they gave their social security number to somebody over the internet.
Well, Leonard, you're exactly right. And one thing that we've noticed, in fact, when Will asked me to come on the show with you and he, it was a matter of look at the volume of victims that we're dealing with. Look at the different mechanisms that they can be victimized through. And you spoke of credit card fraud. You're exactly right. Credit card fraud impacts you in a certain way. The good news for that is there are means that you can straighten your credit back out. I mean, all of the credit bureaus now are working with victims. They recognize the potential for damage. Each one of them is working with the victims to help them restore that, and eventually they will restore that. The problem becomes with the other things that identity theft can target you in, and that can be anything from someone getting arrested in your name, bonding out and not going back to jail, so now there's a failure to appear warrant being issued for you, and you're stopped for speeding, and now you're on your way to jail. It can be people getting turned down for top secret security clearances or even backgrounds for employment because of all these things. So it extends far past just the impact it has on us on credit. And I think that's why Will's organization has stepped to the plate and started looking at how they can help these victims restore not just their good credit, but their good name, because that's really what's being targeted here.
Now, you mentioned the three credit bureaus. Where does somebody go to find out this information, and why do they have to take three separate steps?
Will, do you want to respond to that? Or
go ahead, Wayne. I know I can fill in. You're the expert.
Well,
I love it.
I didn't know if he was asking from a victim's advocacy standpoint.
Right. Leonard, what do you want it from, a victim's or a
it doesn't
law
matter.
Enforcement?
I mean, the average person listening to the show is going to say, why do I have to go to three separate credit bureaus to find out information that's of importance to me?
Right. Well, let me speak to that just because, and from the standard, you know, civilian standpoint, this is just typical information. Basically, credit reports are issued one per year by each of the three credit bureaus. So technically, you have the legal right to have a free credit report each year, actually by each of the three credit bureaus. So you can make a request. So the smart thing to do is request one time of the year, because it's a 12-month period. So you can technically legally get three free credit reports a year. So be sure you know that the freecreditreport.com that's advertised is not actually free, because that's not the way it works. These credit bureaus have to give you a free credit report. So you want to monitor your credit that way. Another great site that we promote, of course, is the Federal Trade Commission, ftc.gov.
Right. Okay, thank you. And look for the link that says identity theft?
That's right. Because the FTC has been tasked with kind of looking after this particular issue. They have limited enforcement authority, but from the standpoint of collecting data and providing information, they in the government sector have been given this task.
Okay, so, and the link – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, so FTC.gov is the one where you can discover information about addressing this issue specifically, how to protect yourself, and but also remediation possibilities.
And we'll put the exact link to the Federal Trade Commission within the show notes of DC Public Safety so people can find it. But it's basically the Federal Trade Commission. You search for Federal Trade Commission or FTC.gov and just look for the link, and you can get all the information. Can you get the addresses to the various credit bureaus?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they basically, when they provide you with this kind of information, you know, like the website will spec out the stuff you need to know, the contact numbers and this kind of thing. Those can be found online too.
Do you have to write the three credit bureaus, or can you email them?
Well, you can. There are different mechanisms. There's a calling, writing. I think they also have online reporting, requesting. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that while we recommend that everybody contact all three, the fact is that if you contact one, they are obligated to notify the other two about fraud alerts specifically, and then of course requesting a free credit report.
Oh, that's good to know. That's very good to know.
Yeah. So that when you if you are concerned, which as we talked about in the last show, like I have a reasonable expectation that I've already been the victim of identity theft or will be at some time in the near or distant future because I'm pretty sure that somebody could have given up my information, then you have the right to call and trigger a fraud alert, which means that, first of all, they can't sell your information to people, and there are certain conscriptions there that protect your information and then set it up so people know that you don't want that information going out because, you perceive that there's a potential for a fraud alert. There's a potential for fraud there. So people have to, if somebody's going in to apply for credit in your name, they actually have to contact, and there's a process so that you can get notification. Hey, somebody, do you approve of this is the issue? Do you want to buy that refrigerator? You live in California, but somebody in New York is trying to buy a refrigerator in your name. Is this an authorized purchase?
I had no idea that they offered those services. So once again, the program, and you, Will, from the National Organization for Victim Assistance, and Wayne from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, you guys are doing a great job in terms of imparting information that, quite frankly, I did not know about. So you go to the Federal Trade Commission, you get the addresses from there, you get the contact information from there, you contact... Within any given year, you contact somebody, one of the three, every, say, 3 or 4 months. If you want to be notified in terms of any major purchases in your name, they can notify you.
Right.
And that's amazing.
If we're sharing this information, we're talking TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. Those are the three main credit bureaus.
Okay.
There are actually others, but those are the three, not to complicate things, but the ones that are tasked with what we just described and are obligated to respond with free services at the level we're talking, those are the three.
Do they offer these services out of the goodness of their heart, or is this mandated by federal law?
No, there are statutory obligations that they have. They make their money by selling credit information. When you go to buy a house, those folks contact these folks. So that's how they're making their money. But then because they're managing it, they're obligated to protect it at a certain level and respond to consumers at a certain level.
All right. Very good. Very good. But yet the average person out there is going to say, well, why can't I do this with one phone call? Why can't I do this with one email? Why do I have to do it with three? And that's probably just the way it's set up, and we're stuck with that. It's not a government operation. This is pretty much private business.
Well, I mean, you could put it down into a comparison. If you're in the process of building a house, you have to call one company to come install the air conditioner and one to do the flooring and everything else. So it's really in those terms. I mean, they're all going to work with you equally well, and they're all going to try and make sure that they're getting put into place what you need. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of to make sure you've covered every base, you have to go through all those processes.
Yeah.
All right. So we've just added probably a sixth item, and that's to contact the credit bureaus. But the one thing that you said last time, Wayne, that I find intriguing, people need to take a look at their credit statements every time they get it. And even if it's delivered from the bank via email, print the daggone thing out. Look, my wife asked me, yesterday about this lunch bill from Virginia. And she goes, I don't remember you being in Virginia. And I said, yeah, that was at a conference we went to. And she goes, oh, yeah. So, I mean, we're doing it within our household. Everybody should scrutinize their credit card bills and every other bill. And if there's something out of line, you need to find out why that particular charge is there.
That's exactly right. And for the record, my wife asked me about my lunch bill, too, but it's usually how'd you spend that much money on lunch?
That's what mine asked me.
You're exactly right, Leonard. I mean, we've got to look at everything. It's no longer a matter of you can get your credit card bill in the mail and just pull the edge off and pay it. You've got to look at it and scrutinize it. And there could be something that's purposely been done on your credit card, and there can be mistakes on your credit card. I can recall a case where someone thought they'd been the victim of identity theft, and they contacted us. This goes years back. Someone at a pharmacy in, I think it was Iowa, if memory serves me correct, had used their credit card to fill some prescriptions. And when we dug into it, it wasn't someone perpetrating a crime against them. It was a number had been transposed wrong when they were writing it down. But even still, if that person hadn't looked at their credit statement and been mindful of what they were responsible for, they'd have been paying a bill for someone else. So you've got to scrutinize everything. Anything that comes into you from that legitimate company, you need to be looking at. And people also need to be mindful of when they're starting to receive new applications for credit cards and things that they've saying that they've applied for that they didn't apply for. They need to be mindful of that. They may already be the victim of identity theft.
Halfway through the program, reintroducing both guests today, Will Marling, the executive director of the National Organization for Victim Assistance. Been there for 30 years, ladies and gentlemen, protecting your rights, protecting your responsibilities as a victim of crime or a witness of crime. www.trynova.org, 1-800-TRY-NOVA. We say that there are 10 million victims a year of identity theft, and yet we quickly admit that that's probably the tip of the iceberg. Robert Wayne Ivey is resident agent in charge of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. He works out of the Brevard field office, and he is an expert in the investigation of ID crimes. Now, where do we go to from here? We've summarized what people need to know, and I think that's a pretty extensive list, in terms of last show and this show. What else do people need to know?
Mm-hmm. Well, one correction I need to make, or it's not a correction, it's just an expansion. We talked about the three credit bureaus. You can actually go to this website. Okay, easy to remember. I said don't go to Free Credit Report because it's not free. Well, here's the one you go to. This one website, all three of these companies are working together, all three of the credit bureaus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's www.annualcreditreport.com. That's the official site, the only official site to obtain free credit reports from the three bureaus. So your listeners ought to appreciate that because you're exactly right. That is a simplification of the process.
www.annualcreditreport.com.
Yep. Yep.
And the three, you can request it.
That's right.
Periodically, because you get one free from each on a yearly basis, so you can go to them every 4 months.
In a calendar year. That's right. So you want to space those out if you're tracking your credit reporting, your statements, and that's a good thing to do.
Wow. Okay. And we'll remind
and expand,
everyone,
Leonard, on what he just said. You heard him say that all three of them are working together on that side of the initiative, and that's the key to it. Not only for the credit bureau side, but for everyone: law enforcement, victims advocacy, prosecutors at both the state and federal level. All of us working together is the only bullet that's going to bring this beast down.
And for those of us in the criminal justice system, we're used to working with private entities that are there to look at a particular kind of theft, auto theft. There's a National Association of Auto Theft Investigators. There is, I forget the other one, but there are. If people feel uncomfortable about going to www.annualcreditreport.com, they need to or just what entity, they need to understand that there are lots of private entities set up out there to attack, to deal with specific types of crime.
Well, and you're right, and one of those immediate available to them is if they feel they've been, for example, the victim of credit card fraud, their known number for their credit card company or bank that processes their credit card is an immediate source of help if they think they've been targeted by identity thieves or credit card fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'll say go to that known number for help, not one that pops up on your screen or that comes to you in a voicemail or a recording on your telephone.
Every time somebody tells you, every single time that somebody tells you, either through the internet, either through a phone conversation or via mail, that you have a problem with your account, do not respond to it. Call your bank. Call through a known number. Call through a known number to your credit card company.
Right. I would be very leery of anyone calling me soliciting my personal information, be it Social Security number, be it credit card accounts, be it bank accounts, or specifically security codes, because anyone that's soliciting that information from you is a problem, because the people that should have that information, your banks, your credit card companies, and so forth, they already have it. Why would they need to ask you for it? So again, be mindful of that.
But they're dream up some sort of scenario that sounds plausible.
Mm. Right. And, you know, we used to, years ago, if we thought we were getting a phone call that didn't seem right, it was a what we would call vishing now, that didn't seem right, we would always say, do you have a number that I can call you back at?
Yes.
And then they would either say, no, this, you know, we can't take incoming calls, which we all knew was a spoof too, mm-hmm. or they would hang up the phone when they
sure.
were challenged like that.
Sure.
Well, that's no longer true. Today, they'll give you a number to call them back at, and they'll answer that number in some form of a business, and you'll feel comfortable in giving them your information. So that's where we really caution people. Call the number that you already have for your mm-hmm. company.
It mm-hmm. all looks so incredibly official.
Yep.
I gave the story last time about the account, and I want to identify it, that contacted me, and it looked perfect. And I was in the process of inputting information when I realized, oh, my gosh, this is a fraud. And it took me, you know, probably a whole 30 seconds before I realized it. It looked perfect. You can get a telephone call from somebody who will sound perfect. You'll get a letter, and it'll be on letterhead. And yes, they'll provide an 800 number. You're going to call that 800 number, and somebody very official is going to answer that call. And they're going to say, oh, yes, ma'am, this is very legitimate. We're concerned about your daughter. We're afraid that she may have run up some charges that you're not aware of. Let me go over the charges. But to do that, let me have your credit card number.
Yeah. Hey, Len, let me give you an example for our organization. And this is very recent. We put on a victim assistance conference, mm-hmm. and it's in Scottsdale at the end of this month.
Right.
And we got an email from an international inquiry saying they wanted to register 10 people for our conference. Well, we mm-hmm. do have a few internationals.
Sure.
Well, we started that process saying, yeah, here's how you do it. And then it was, well, we need more information, and we've got this process protocol that we need to go through, blah, blah, blah. Well, it didn't trigger until we got about 3 or 4 emails into it. My administrator came to me and said, you know, something doesn't smell right. Well, we tracked the ISP addresses, the IP addresses, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was out of Ghana. Okay, mm-hmm. fine. That doesn't mean it's necessarily criminal.
Right.
It was redirected from Nigeria.
Yes.
So these people, what they were trying to do was, I'm not sure quite the angle, because I ended up reporting it, you know, to the FBI, but I think what was going to happen was they were going to register, cancel, try to get a check that they could wash, or try to recover funds somehow, get access to our accounts. So we're a victim assistance organization, and as soon as we said, hey, we need this, we never heard from them again.
Right.
You see.
Right. But that's the problem, and that's the whole idea in terms of the introductory points from the first show was education. The
that's right.
idea seems to be that, and I know we in the criminal justice system do not like to admit this, but you know, I don't think there's any way that we will ever, we in the criminal justice side will ever be able to deal with the tens of millions of identity thefts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if a third of these were reported to law enforcement, it would shut down the average law enforcement agency tomorrow. I'm not discouraging people from contacting law enforcement, and Wayne
right.
would be the first person to say you do need to contact local law enforcement. But the point is that I don't think local law enforcement can do that much to protect the tens of millions of inquiries that are coming to people on a daily basis.
That's right.
I think we need to learn every possible step we can take to prevent this sort of stuff from happening.
Yeah, and Leonard, you're absolutely right. the true volume or sheer numbers of identity theft would overwhelm law enforcement in trying to respond to each one. Where we're able to help victims is, and we tell everyone this, as a victim of identity theft, when you've recognized you become the victim of identity theft, your first call should be to law enforcement. And there's a reason for that, or actually a number of reasons, but the first reason is go ahead and establish and document that this has happened to you. And that case number is going to become very important to you as you start this painstaking process of trying to recover your good name and your good credit. Mm-hmm. A lot of places are going to ask you, have you reported it to law enforcement, and you'll be able to supply them with a case number.
Sure.
The second thing is law enforcement, when they're investigating these cases, are able to sometimes correlate those cases and bring them. I realize we've got somebody that's targeted this person, and this person, so they can bring those cases together. But if no one reports it, then that person is allowed to operate uninterrupted and
yes.
target not only you, but
Agreed.
Other people as well. So we need to get that information in, get it taken care of as soon as possible.
And you can also get the word out to the public that this sort of thing is happening.
Absolutely. A lot of times we'll get calls from people that have been victimized, right in a row, 1, 2, 3, and they'll call us and we'll be able to get a blast out through some means,
right.
whether it's the media or some other means, to let people know that that type of scam is going on in that immediate area.
Right. And
so
you're not
all
use
of those
the name
become
of the
vitally
victims.
Important in this crime.
Right. And you're not going to use the name of the victims. Needless
to say. Oh, absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So the point is that this can really help. Your reporting the crime to local law enforcement can really help them protect everybody else. And you can hopefully have somebody at that local law enforcement agency who has the skills to provide you with the steps to take.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, and sometimes those steps may be just helping everyone to understand what's happened, what the next step in the process is for both the law enforcement side and for the victim side, and being able to help them on their path to recovery. But the last thing that we can do is to not report it. We've got to get that information in there.
That's
and
right.
give law enforcement a chance to identify and apprehend those that they can get their hands on.
That's right.
Absolutely, absolutely. And at least get some technical information regarding the recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
But do we have law enforcement specialists at every law enforcement agency? That's an impossible question to answer. But I'm assuming that more and more and more the larger law enforcement agencies do have specialists in this arena.
Yeah.
They do, and a lot of them have gone to specific literature that their patrol officers are in possession of that they can hand out. There's a number of mechanisms. Sometimes it's just suggesting that they contact the Federal Trade Commission and utilize their resources to help them along that road of recovery. So,
and I think
those are things that law enforcement can do to help those victims.
It's an extraordinarily good suggestion because I was not aware of them, and I thought that I was a fairly smart cookie, and it turns out that these two shows that we did on identity theft certainly are going to be shows that I'm going to bring to the attention of my family and my friends so you can better protect yourself. Will Marling, the executive director of the National Organization for Victim Assistance, ladies and gentlemen, around for 30 years with an extraordinarily powerful, powerful reputation as an ally to victims of crime. www.trinova.org or 1-800-TRINOVA. And we have, I really do want to thank you. I mean, these last two shows have been really enjoyable because it's always good to talk to the real thing, and obviously you are the real thing in terms of your knowledge of identity theft. Robert Wade Ivey is resident agent in charge of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. He works out of the Brevard County Field Office, and he is an expert in the investigation of ID thefts. I want to thank both of you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to DC Public Safety. Get in touch with me at Leonard, L-E-O-N-A-R-D, SIPES at CSOSA.gov. And I do want to, before we go, one more time, summarize what we've said. Always check your credit records. Every time that bill comes in the mail or if it comes to you via computer, check it, look at it, and see if anything is out of place. Do not respond to any inquiry from anybody in any matter asking you for personal information. Call the bank. Call the credit card company. Don't put items in the trash that possibly could be used against you, like an unused credit card application. The fact that we have to help in the educational process, which is what we're doing with the last two shows, that people need to become aware and educated about this. There are 10 million identity thefts a year. We know that that's the tip of the iceberg. We want people to contact the Federal Trade Commission, and we did say that the address, the internet address for the Federal Trade Commission was ftc.gov, G-O-V, ftc.gov. Look for the link to ID theft, and I'll be putting that link directly within the show notes. And also, we have www.annualcreditreport.com, www.annualcreditreport.com. That's the one source for the three credit agencies that people can use to begin the process of getting information. I hope that was not confusing, and I really appreciate everybody's help on this program, and please have yourselves a very, very pleasant day.